electronic invoices, recruiters, or any other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
It's once again time for the traditional singing of Back Home Again in Indiana. And once again, it is my privilege to introduce to you Mr. Jim Nabors. Back home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see the gleaming candlelight still burning bright through the sycamores for me. The newborn
Now, there it is. For those of you who have never made it here or never made it to the Brickyard for Back Home Again in Indiana, and Marcus Hirsch has been covering, gosh, it's the 28th running, Marcus. How many Indiana Derbies have you covered?
30.
You'll take the over.
I don't know. No, I mean, I don't know. If I looked, I don't have the page in front of me. I'd say 10, 8, I don't know. When I first covered, let me put it this way. The first Indiana Derby I covered was two racetrack names ago.
There you go, right? Indiana Downs, Indiana Grand.
Indiana Downs was, I liked Indiana Downs. That was my favorite name.
And of course, you know, there was the whole, we didn't talk about this with Eric Kallstrom, but there was the whole craziness with the harness and the thoroughbred and flip-flopping where they ran, and
Hoosier Park opened, and that alleviated that.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I will say that I know you're there and we're supporting the track. Can I offer a complaint that I wish would be addressed?
Why not?
You can say no.
No, go ahead. This is my
look on the internet and call the main for Horseshoe Indianapolis, which is like the casino exists because of horse racing.
Right.
You get an operator that says press zero for the hotel. You get auto message. Press zero for the hotel operator. That's it. That's the main number. Could they at least just like have an operator where someone who was interested in the horse racing product could talk to somebody? That's my complaint. There you go.
And that is a legitimate one, and I will pass it along. I'm adjacent to Eric Hallstrom, and this may be solved by the end of the day.
Good. I hope it is, because I know, I mean, yesterday on a 9-race card, they did $2.5 million, and I know,
yeah,
that's not Hong Kong, but that's a pretty good number for 9 races on a week card for for a Midwest track. And I know I've noticed that their handle has been pretty good all season, and people are paying attention to their product, so there's interest in the racing. And I think it would be great if anyone who wanted to get in touch with anyone racing-wise would have an easier time with it.
Well, Eric may have the show. Eric's a listener, I know, so he may be listening, and he may be moving on this even before I bring it up with him at noon.
Sure. And these are large companies that have their own little things, but anyway, it's Indiana Derby weekend. I will say that I was top to bottom. I thought the card was very playable, and I thought they got, like, the two turf races, the two open turf races, I thought, especially the male turf race, I thought that was the star of the show, the Jonathan Schuster Memorial.
Exactly, and a lot of what they did here, and we talked, I had an extensive conversation yesterday with Hallstrom. We went an hour, and one of the things, they kind of rolled the dice about being on a Saturday after two runnings of this on Wednesdays, this card, and it's going to pay off with exposure on America's Day at the Races on Fox Sports with Belmont's big card. And they ended up when they sat down, when Naira sat down and looked at the two cards, they ended up putting the Schuster, the Derby, and the Oaks together, all three, as part of their cross country pick five with the two.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I think it makes sense. It does. It fits right into. I think it's a good placement. I mean, there are a lot of stakes, but I mean, Delaware came up a little bit light, and the Belmont races are obviously the star of the day. But I think that the card in Indiana slots right into a kind of a proper spot, on the national landscape. So I think it was well done to put it on the Saturday.
Well, and you're familiar with, given the Chicagoland situation, which you and I chronicled for over a decade, you're familiar with, the people involved here, Chris Bowen, who...
Yes, it's Chicago East.
It really is. And credit, all credit to Hallstrom for understanding that, the chance to go from a B track to a B plus track with long-term potential to be an A track, they're trying to fill that void.
Yeah, no, I do think that everything I've heard, Chris Polson is a like a lifelong professional, and his staff reflects that. And they got Julie, which, I mean, I'm not saying that Bill Downs is not a perfectly competent announcer, but John has, got some international recognition and obviously does a great job. I am glad. I mean, okay, so I mentioned the phone number and the Caesars thing like that, but for a track supported in great part by casino revenues, I do appreciate that they have shown more commitment to racing and improving racing and trying to make things right, even for horsemen on the inside, than some tracks in similar situations.
Exactly, and Eric is trying to do everything he can to recognize the horse player. Yeah,
that's part of it, right? I mean, Eric is a racing guy and has been around the game a lot and has thought about a lot of different ways to actually do stuff. So it is. I mean, it's good to see people taking things into consideration, that's for sure.
Exactly. And I lauded him for that yesterday. Let's talk about the card and maybe work backwards from the Derby. And I know you were reporting on who's going where and of the cross entries. And Mary let it be known that when it comes to the girls' race, Candy Ride is actually going to run in Prairie Meadows.
That's right.
And
if you, I don't know if you've said it yet or not, but the Rattle and Roll runs in Indiana,
right?
And so does Actuated. They're both entered in the Iowa Derby,
right,
as well.
Excellent.
And then I don't know about the Indiana, but I didn't have a phone number for trainer Brandy Steele, who has New Year's Fever, has entered in the Snack. So I have nothing on that. I mean, the horse, I don't think really belongs in this race and should be in the snack. Mo Wins is faster for Mike Lauer. I did contact him. He said it will depend on scratches and weather. That was 2 days ago. Maybe he has made further decisions since then, but he is also in the snack. So that could be, those are two horses we don't really know about. I really thought, Trademark, I can't really see. I know he's run in some better races. I just haven't seen the spark from him, and he gets late, but that's not been a great move for the barn. I mean, Un Ojo, he was okay. He was second early voting, but he was beaten a mile, and I'm looking at his Rebel as the outlier in his entire form pattern. None of his other races fit. Same with Fowler Blue. I can't see the improvement there. And then First Glimpse just looks for match. So I'm left with four horses that to consider, those being King Ottoman, Rattle and Roll, Best Actor, and Actuator. That's kind of how I see the race.
Did you talk to McPeak about the wheel back?
I did. He's wheeling like five back and less than 8 days rest on the card. That may be an exaggeration, but almost all of his entries here ran at the end of Churchill. And so I did talk to him, and he said that they had planned to run in either the Indiana or the Iowa Derby. That was the plan all along. They're going to work the horse on Saturday, July 2nd, and then when the American Derby came off turf because Churchill couldn't use the grass course, they started thinking, well, why not just run? And they did. He won, and he came out of the race in good shape. They'd already been pointing one of these races, and they decided to just follow up on it and go for it. And that's fine. I mean, a week turnaround is not the end of the world. It can work at times. The thing about that I see with this horse is that he just ran. I thought he ran his best race of the year. The competition helped because he took a step down in class, I think, for sure. But I just I liked the way he went about the race better than his races earlier season. And that, I guess that could mean that he just doubles right back up. But I'm more leaning toward he's not going to run quite as well. And I think if he takes a step back, he probably won't win. I picked Actuator, and I like the horse. I think he's really talented. I was very impressed with his maiden win. And I know he's jumping from maiden to graded stakes and two turns on dirt for the first time. I believe he is suited to two turns he went two turns on turf as a two-year-old twice, nowhere near the same performance level as that 7/8 dirt race. And looking at the way he ran, his stride, his gallop out, his pedigree, I think he'll go a route of ground, but he's 7-2 on the line. I think that he's going to get bet even lower, and I just don't see any value there at all. Although, of course, again, I did pick him. My best actor for Cox could end up being slight value. I've only seen buyers. I haven't seen any of the other numbers, so I don't know how he might be bet according to people who use those. He does give £6 to Actuator. For whatever that's worth, I like Best Actor's debut quite a lot at Oaklawn, the two-turn race, and he got the same buyer, 85, for his allowance race win at Churchill second out. But I didn't like that race as much visually. He didn't change leads. He just didn't look as smooth to me. But he may just be a two-turn horse. That's what Cox thinks, and he's got the nice two-race platform as a jumping-off point. And then King Ottoman he hasn't really not taken much action in any of his races. I really liked him on Derby Day in the one turn mile when they cut him back. And that, I think, was a pretty good race. The winner has not run back yet, but he ran fast and the second horse came back to win. But the Texas Derby was fine. The horse kind of looked like he was spinning his wheels at the 3/8 pole, wheeled out, ran down his stablemate Presidential, who is okay. The horse is progressive, and he'll need some pace to help him out. I think he's better off stalking and finishing. But since my top pick, I think, is going to be Bad Value, and I don't have strong feelings on any of the other horses, I'm mildly negative on Rattle and Roll, who I don't think will be as short as 5-2 as Morning Line Price. It's just not a huge race for me to play.
Fair enough. And Best Actor, I mean, an actuator are intriguing just because you know, these are late season 3-year olds that are unexposed.
Sure, and they would be, if they were in a race with some other horses who had more obvious form and you were going to get a little bit of a price on them in the wind pool or in multi-race waivers, then yes, they would be appealing to me. But since they're the ones that are the, as I mentioned, to me, the clear contenders, I don't see a ton to like.
The Oaks got Interstate Daydream, who...
Well, yeah, you can just stop right there.
Yeah, she's going to be a handful.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a universal single. I mean, maybe I should be more skeptical. I'm not. I just think she lays over this group, and I don't see why she wouldn't fire. I mean, the barn is well-versed in sending horses to Horseshoe Indianapolis. They have the string there. Cox has won the race before. She's had plenty of time since her last race. She just seems like a better horse who's going to run a race, and it's going to be an easy win for her.
Fair enough. There are some interesting players in here, again, on the you know, second half of the season emergent front. 63 caliber for Amos, my racehorse and Spendthrift sending this one to Tom, and Judmont and Cox with Patna, who looks like a progressive type.
Yeah, she might be. I think he just, I don't know. I didn't love, I mean, she's got okay figures. I didn't love her last race. She looks somewhat limited to me. She's fine. Sometimes Indomitius can fool you. They're better than they look visually at times. She may have more upside than I give her credit for, but I really struggled with finding even a second horse in this race. I ended up with settling on North County for a second. I do think that she was very fortunate and well spotted as much as anything to start her career with three wins. That being said, she was due to take a step back, and Rachel Alexander didn't run terrible over the Tapita Turfway. Comes off a freshening. I think she's the one to finish second for me.
Let's talk about that Schuster. And I talked earlier with Scott Shapiro, and we really paused on Paulo Lobo and the Grade 1 winner, Ivar, who starts his season in this spot. And you can really, you know, kind of see what Lobo is doing with the six-year-old, you know, kind of, you know, getting the rust off and you know, starting him out here in seemingly a less resistant opportunity. One thing, though, that is notable, Paulo Lobo is terrific off layoffs, and DRF formulator stats, 30% from 27 starters, Marcus, averaging $5 on the ROI is crazy, the kind of number that with 27 starters to have a $5.03 ROI.
Yeah, I don't have the stats in front of me. I don't know if it's a couple big prices that bump that up a lot, but I mean, I respect the barn. So when you say you guys paused on the horse, what do you mean pause? Because he's such a standout?
Yes, yes. Which makes you think to yourself, I mean, is this an opportunity? You know, you're certainly, you know, you're not in a multi race sequence. You're not going to let him beat you per se.
I'm going to let him beat me. I have to.
Interesting. Although you didn't. I'm just looking. You did not. I'm just looking at the tabs. You left him off.
Well, I also did a pick five for, we did a little promotion for the track where, and they asked me to put together a ticket, and I did leave them off the pick five ticket. It was a caveman play, not any, negative regression grid. But I mean, I'm willing to let him beat me. I mean, I am a big fan of the horse. I mean, loved the horse when I first watched his races from Argentina. I think he's a monster, but you know, I see every reason to try to beat him here. I mean, if he beats you, fine. He's obviously the most accomplished and capable horse in the race. But, you know, for whatever it's worth, you know, he was entered in the race, the Maker's Mark Mile at Keeneland, and was scratched out of there, wasn't quite ready, and then was entered in the Turf Classic on Derby Day and hurt his hoof. Scratched. So he only missed a few days, but it's just been a long time since he ran. And he's got the 12 hole and he's got some tactical speed. It's the kind of situation where before you know it, the turn comes up and he's five wide. Hold on one second. Yeah, I decided to do this outside today, and a neighbor's dog is not being cooperative.
It's all right.
And the turf, that turf course is not for every horse, you know? I mean, I see a lot of races there where it's all about trip, and the best horse just doesn't have a chance to get up. So if it were the usual kind of way that this race comes up, I would think, oh, he'll just win. But I saw three horses with the capability of beating him. So those are the three that I use. Some like a Hot Brown, Cavalry Charge, and Duke of Hazzard. I think those horses are all very capable and won't be the favorite. Bear with me 1 second. Cavalry Charge is 15-1 on the line. I don't think he'll be the high price. That was my top pick. I'm just throwing out his two turf races at Churchill, where a lot of horses completely failed to handle that course. He didn't run a step in the Turf Classic. That's a complete throw out to me. And then he didn't stay a mile and a half, where he ran without Lasix in the Louisville. If you go back to his previous form, he is like every bit capable of winning this race. Behind two Emmys and Santon in the Muniz, he wired the Fairgrounds over Adamo, who is a really good horse. And granted, he got away with an easy lead, but he still won. And it's not just those two races, but the way he came on at the end of last year. I think he's pretty good. And Duke of Hazzard, he has plenty of capability. I don't think he can hold the three-horse seek again against him, where Mason, you know, got the run of the race. Mason's a really good horse. Of course, probably needed that race, too. I don't think the Woodbine Mile was the right race for him either. He's tracking a slow pace. He's better off a little bit farther behind. And all you have to do is go back to last August, the Strensel, where he's third behind Real World and Lord Glitters. I mean, those are real horses,
yeah.
And that's a left-handed, flat-course race. I think he's going to take a step forward. I mean, he doesn't have a huge amount of room to improve. He's a 29-start, 6-year-old, but yeah, and some like it Hot Brown. I mean, I was more torn on him because I didn't love his first start back, but then if you go back through his career, he usually just needs a run and then improves. I mean, there's some speed in the race. The Run and Ray horse is meant for dirt, so he'll be scratching. He would be a pace player, but he's not going to run. So if some like a Hot Brown catches a flyer out of the gate and gets a comfortable rhythm around the first turn on the backstretch, he could be very tough as well.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to look for I'll find your cross country play. And in fact, with those three races doped out, Marcus, let me get your Belmont Derby and Belmont Oaks opinions.
Okay. To be clear, the pick five I did was just at Indiana, so I didn't do a cross country pick five.
But we can cobble one probably with
the. I did do the Belmont Oaks and the Belmont Derby
for game plan.
Yes, I did. And so when I saw Concert Hall was running, Concert Hall's like really good. Much respect for her and the season she's had, but then delving a little deeper, I thought maybe she could be a bit vulnerable here, despite, obviously, she's fourth in a really good renewal of the Oaks at Epsom. I mean, Emily Upjohn, Tuesday, Nashua won the French Oaks in her next start. Those are tremendous, tremendous horses. I don't know why these PPs don't have her most recent race. She ran in Ireland after that. This is something that is concerning me now that I pulled these PPs up. So her pretty polished race, she shows a big trouble line and horse got DQ'd. I didn't think that the trouble was that bad. She was completely going nowhere anyway at the time, which is why she was susceptible. She couldn't get through any holes because she didn't have any run, and the ground was much softer than she's going to find. That might have been everything, but she's making her fifth start in 10 weeks, and I know that that's a different ballgame for overseas horses, and Aidan O'Brien in particular. The more I thought about it, the more I was willing to try to beat her. I mean, the Joseph O'Brien horse a lot of the speed in this race is the Euros. I know people don't think that European horses have speed, but they actually do a lot of the time. Not saying they're great gate horses, because that's not how they're trained, but I think that there's some real Euro pace in this race. And I wonder, I mean, Agarth has got to be forwardly placed coming, stretching out a distance. I don't love her pedigree to get a mile and a quarter, but I don't think she'd be in the race if they didn't think she had some real stay to her. I don't like her to win, though. The French horses didn't do much for me. New Year's Eve was absolutely superstar in the Edgewood. I mean, just a tremendous performance. But again, that Churchill course was so funky. She clearly loved it. I think the blinkers did help, too, and I do think she's an improved filly. And I didn't like Santin for Walsh going into the Manhattan of his Churchill race. I think that this filly has better men, and she... I didn't see her work, but Dave Granning for the RF lauded her turf work at Belmont, which is a positive sign. But I'm still, I'm not siding with her either. Brad Brown has three, and I settled on McCulloch, who I really, really think is meant for a mile and a quarter. And I haven't talked to the trainer, don't know specifically, but I have to think that they had this race in mind for her all year and that those first two starts were just meant to get her here. I love the way she finished in the Regret. That horse Walkathon really accelerated beautifully off the turn and got a huge jump on her. This filly strode out very nicely to the wire and around the turn. She's got a good work pattern. Since then, she's drawn down on the rail. I think she's going to sit, you know, toward the rear of the field, and I think the pace is going to be decent. I look for her to a nice long sustained run at a surprisingly decent price for an IRAD Chad horse.
Well, price-wise, 6-1 going in, and you know the Chads will take money and they'll spread it out, and then you look at the O'Briens, both the Aiden and the Joseph, and everybody respects anything that Appleby sends out the Godolphin runners.
True, and that filly is not bad. I don't particularly like her in this race, but I wouldn't be surprised. I do think Contract Tour could get hammered, which could create value all across the board.
That's the Oaks, which goes as the seventh and is the first leg of the cross country. And then comes the big field, the 13, in the Belmont Derby. What'd you side with here?
Well, there are some good European horses in this race. Even this, like, on the rail implementation, I don't love the horse, but that horse is not overmatched at all. Going to be a huge price. 20-1 on the line. That horse will be 20-1. Machette, I think they say in France, is also 20-1. I would rate that horse a shorter price by a considerable margin, and David Aragona obviously makes an excellent line, but I don't see them both as the same price. Machette is a real horse. I gave him strong consideration. He's probably worth a play at anything close to 20-1. You can't really hold his last race against him because I just don't think he loves soft ground. And if you go back two races ago where he was second to Vadeni, that's a very strong race. Vadeni, if people don't know, is the best three-year-old in France and one of the best three-year-olds in Europe, came back and won the Eclipse Digs last weekend while getting weight, obviously, against older horses. I saw Royal Patronage get some love. You're not getting it from me. And then you get to the big two overseas horses, Stone Age and Nation's Pride. Stone Age is this kind of monstrous looking Galileo. Peter Brandt bred him, owns him with the Coolmoor people. I know he's been highly regarded all along. He just seems goofy. I watch all his races before, going into Epsom. And while I could see the talent and the capability, I saw him doing a lot of stupid stuff and not responding well to adversity ever. And I think that, kind of caught up to him. Maybe he gets a clean run on the outside. He's a strong galloping type. He doesn't need the lead, but if he can stay in the clear, he could be tough. But I really like the Godolphin horse here at Nation's Pride.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to get a fine trip just in behind the speed. He's already won on a U.S.-style turf track at Maidan, won very well, came under consideration, I think, in some quarters. I mean, I heard him talk about it as a Kentucky Derby prospect, maybe, but that was quickly quashed by Appleby. His Newmarket Stakes, the horse that ran second, Huya Mall, is not bad. He just destroyed him. I think the trip he got there is going to be more like the trip he gets on Saturday, and he wants a clean run. The thing, maybe didn't love the mile and a half of the Derby, but I thought it was as much about the Epsom course and the big field and too much coming at him too fast. Maybe he's not a mile and a half horse. I don't know, but I think things are going to work out much better for him psychologically and mentally, and the talent and the capability on a flat track and over a mile and a quarter, I think, is definitely there. I wonder if he gets bet lower than 5-1, but 5-1 to me would be very fair on that horse.
I feel the same way, and got to ask you too, Marcus, your thoughts on what are now the two McPeaks. Tis the Bomb returns to non-dirt, and Classic Causeway may turn out that this is what he wants all along, the grass. Your thoughts on those two?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think Classic Causeway is a fine horse. It's just the wrong race for him. He might suit some of those Saratoga races if he does well out of this. Tis the Bomb is, you know, he's really good, and I think he's meant to be a grass horse. It's just that he's run into, I mean, there are a bunch of good horses. Emmanuel was very impressive in his last race. Psydog is a good horse who's going to step forward again after he might have regressed a little bit off his big race in the Transylvania first time out this year. But this race just came up huge this year. I think these horses are in trouble against the Europeans.
Well, and we haven't even mentioned Shug with limited liability, and
also a nice horse.
Right, who's never been worse than third. That's the case with a number of these. Even Grand Sonata with Mandy Pope, suddenly the Mandy Pope program, it was like somebody threw a switch.
Yeah, well, boy, how about Charger?
That was unbelievable. Yeah. It you know, for a landscape, Marcus, that where hyperbole is usually, you know, rampant, I didn't think Charge It got enough praise for that, for what was.
Oh, really?
I I've been traveling. We were on the road, so maybe, yeah. You know, maybe I just wasn't. I didn't have my finger on the pulse.
I was buried in another non. I didn't see that much about it. I mean, I maybe we're all a bunch of party snakes. He just got out from running win in a race he couldn't lose, and he ran up a score. But I mean, what did he get, a 111 buyer or something? I don't even remember.
It was yeah, 111. A 111.
Yeah, I mean, I loved the horse all along. I mean, watching, because the thing I love that Palm Beach Downs has work videos all the time, and we got to watch all these Pletcher horses working all winter. It's fabulous. I want there to be workout video everywhere all the time, and it's driving me crazy to be tantalized with just a bit here and there. But that horse was working like, I mean, it was crazy how good he was working against some tough older horses over the winter. He's fabulously talented, and maybe that's just what he needed to, you know, launch himself into being like a major, major presence the second half of the year. The 3-year-old crop is going to be very, very interesting to see going forward, starting with the Haskell, just 2 weeks away, I guess.
Unbelievable. And you're absolutely right. And one thing, and, you know, I'm back from the mid-season break. Yes, we're dealing with some short field issues when it comes to the stakes crowd. However, performance-wise and intrigue-wise, virtually every division, long and short on the dirt, there's early emergent two-year-olds. The three-year-olds are still sorting themselves out and have got plenty of opportunity. And then the older horses, is crazy how many good older horses suddenly we've got in the handicap division.
I have to agree with you. We need a 6-furlong rival for Jackie's Warrior, but other than that, things are pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Right? There are a lot of really good horses. I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer and the fall.
Isn't it great to hear? Look, that's what when Marcus is happy and excited and intrigued. That
exactly.
You know exactly.
I'm not denying it.
I love it. Marcus, this was great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Steve. Great talking to you.
Always.
Have a good weekend.
You too. DRF Hirsch, everybody, and there you go. And that really, that is true. I'm not making that up. I mean, you know, Marcus is very frequently, you know, a little gloomy, but if he's excited, we all should be excited. And again, I've said this a couple of times. Even though we're dealing with, you know, what's an obvious issue, you know, in terms of field size. Other than that, when you talk about these rosters in these divisions, I mean, now you had Aloha West come back and break through and get a win at Churchill and that Kelly's Landing. So he, you know, he's back. Maybe that's the same rival that the same rival that beat Jackie's Warrior in last year's Breeders' Cup. Maybe he's the answer. But I mean, well, hell, just the Bill Mott barn. You don't have to look further than there. James Scully standing by. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
James, now I know that I said to Shap, we've got to get him to Saratoga. Now I know you're coming because you come every year without fail.
That's correct. Flying in on Wednesday of Traverse Week, and we'll be there, I think, land in Albany around 11 in the morning. So be out at the track for 5 days, or 4 days, Wednesday through Saturday, and then leaving, going home on Sunday morning. So, yeah, excited. Should be a good traverse. Some good horses point towards it. You referenced Charges win in the Dwyer. It really, you know, increased his profile as a traverse contender. And be interesting to see. You know, we got a really good race. We're going to be coming up in the Jim Dandy. Got Epicenter, early boating, and somebody else is pointing to that race, and then you're going to have and potentially charge it even in there. So, and then in the Haskell, going to have Jack Christopher and perhaps Vapor will ship in Tyba or you know as well.
Cyber Knife, absolutely.
Yeah, Cyber Knife coming up a nice win in the Matt win. So yeah, really shaping up to be an exciting traverse this year. The 3-year-old division the race will be settled in the second half of the season.
Exactly. Well, let me get some. I know you've got some eclectic opinions, including some Delaware, which we really haven't had a chance to talk about. So take us wherever you want, and let's get some opinions out.
Yeah, I'll bounce around a little bit. Delaware Park, I'll just start with the two main graded stakes. The Robert Dick Memorial is contested mile and 3/8 on turf. Your favorite in there is going to be Temple City Terror, probably off of a win in the Kirtana overnight stakes at Churchill Downs. You know, she's a deep closer in a race that doesn't have a lot of speed and also not a type of mare that has really strung together wins in the past. And I'm willing to take a shot against her. Number 6, Stand Tall, is a horse that I will use in multi-races. Dangerous, I think, on the front end for Rusty Arnold in there. But I'm giving the top pick to number 9, Luck Money, for Arnold Delacour. Luck Money, to me, was a filly, a mare that last year ran some solid efforts, I thought, in late summer, during the fall. I thought she looked poised to keep progressing this year off of that runner-up effort to Virginia Joy and the Sheepshead Bay. And Delacour added first-time blinkers in the Kirtana last time, and it just absolutely did not work out at all for her. He takes those blinkers off on Saturday tomorrow, and I think Luck Money, who was second in this race last year, is going to be able to sit just off the pace within a few lengths of the lead, and we'll get first run on the deep closers, poised to run a good race, third off the playoff for Delacour.
All right. All right, Luck Money.
And then in the Delaware Handicap, your two top your morning line favorites in there are Miss Leslie and Battle Bling, the top two finishers in the June 8th Obeah Stakes at Delaware. But I really just thought that was a real inauspicious performance by the two. That race came back real slow. I got some questions surrounding both of those late runners stretching out to a mile and a quarter distance. I gave number 1 Let's Cruise a big look on the front end. You know, I think she's got a chance to run well, you know, as the pace setter. But I ultimately landed on number 6 Bees and Honeys, and I just think this 4-year-old filly, this Union Racks filly for Shug McGay, he is a filly that just really needs racing experience. You know, last year I thought she finally put it all together in the Cumley. In our last start at age 3, won that race pretty convincingly at Aqueduct. came back this year in a 7-furlong race. It was a pretty nice field. Splendid News, who won it, is 3-for-3 this year for Ward. And I just thought last time in that allowance race that she made a pretty good little middle move, flattened out late, and she's going to improve upon that effort today on Saturday. She'll relish the added ground. She's one filly in the field. I think the 10-furlong distance will hit her right between the eyes. And I think at 6-to-1 on the morning line, the price could be right on Bees and Honey.
Nice. All right. There's a price option in this seven-horse field, 6-to-1. And Umberto Rispoli, an interesting addition to the Shug package.
All right, and then I'll go to Horseshoe Indianapolis if you want. Got a few plays there. I'll start off really focusing just on these dirt races. I thought in the Michael Schaefer Memorial, I like Running Ray, and I like him on the front end. I think he's going to be inside speed. I think he's sharp presently for Joe Sharp. And I thought that he made his stakes debut two starts back in that Oaklawn Mile. I thought he ran a really good third that day to Folsom and Suzanne that I think, you know, would really would be tough to beat in this race. And my real reason I like him as well is that I just have some concerns that number one, Mr. Wireless, South Bend, Thomas Shelby, Helium, and Spa City. I'm just like not convinced that any of those horses are in top form. I think Running Ray, like I said, he came right back off that Oaklawn Mile. He posted, I thought, a nice win over starter allowance rivals at Churchill Downs, leading wire to wire. And I just think he's going to be tough on the front end here with Martin Garcia.
All right.
In the Indiana Oaks, I'll echo a lot of sentiments we've already heard regarding Interstate Daydream. The one filly that would interest me from, you know, a vertical exotics or as perhaps a backup option is Runaway Wife. And obviously you guys have covered on the show this quick turnaround, but nobody's really mentioned just that. I thought that was an absolute awful trip she had last Friday at Churchill Downs. Le Perroux had an opportunity going into the far turn to take her off the rail and swing her outside of the two horses in front of her, and he kept her down on the inside, and he got right into the turn and he started checking her. I thought he checked her the whole way through the turn, and then he swung her extremely wide. And by the time she got going and on track, it was just too late. But she finished full of run. She needs a clean trip. She's going to get a better trip, I would hope, with Corey Lannery. I think she could run a lot better. And she's just a filly that's improving for Kenny McPeak. Whether she's good enough, we'll find out. But she's the most intriguing option other than Interstate Daydream, who's the most likely winner for Brad Cox.
Yeah, I think that's been the... I've been surprised, actually, at how much of a consensus. I mean, I respect Interstate Daydream tremendously. I suppose the one question that could be offered is she one of these horses that alternates efforts? And all you have to do is look at what went on at Churchill last weekend with She Dares the Devil, who is suddenly one of those horses that it's now a referendum. The minute you discount her in a circumstance,
yeah,
she performs. I mean, that effort actually hasn't gotten nearly as much in light of all the other big performances, Life is Good and Charge It and Olympiad and Gulfport. But that's the
and
one.
That Juju's Map run a real big allowance race on the Oaks undercard.
Yep.
She came back and was flat in the Mother Mill.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I can see your question there. Turning to the Indiana Derby, I think, you know, Marcus Dot hit it on the head. I was blown away by this morning line. I think the top three choices in the betting are going to be Rattle and Roll, Best Actor, and King Ottoman, or maybe Rattle and Roll, King Ottoman, Best Actor. And I just look at those three horses, and they're all capable, but none of them are that imposing to me. King Ottoman, he ran third in a maiden race, two back. You know, Best Actor, he won an off-the-turf allowance. It didn't change lead in the stretch. Right on roll, to me, the key with him in that America Derby was getting the right trip. I mean, I just think he's sort of like, you know, trip dependent. It's tough to expect it twice in a row in here. The horse I like, Steve, I'm going to bet him. And I'm optimistic he's going to be better than 7-2 at post time. And it's number 8 Actuator. And I was just blown away by that performance at Churchill Downs on June. Michael McCarthy flew in from California to watch him run, flew back after the race. I think they know he's a serious racehorse. It didn't surprise me. He's come back and just like trained brilliantly. I bet he worked real easily in those works. What in that maiden race, Actuator broke on top. He gave up the lead, sat second. He makes a move going in the far turn where he just like blows right by the pace setter, takes the lead at the stretch. The horse that ran second starts to make another move, and then Actuator just found another gear. I thought he had two moves in that race. I thought he finished absolutely full of run. I think he's, like I said, I think he's going to be a good racehorse. I think, you know, this field is good. But it's the right spot for him to make his stakes debut, and I'm going with number 8 Actuator in the Indiana Derby.
He's got a look in here, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And you know, and also, you know, that's a race as well where it's a big gap from him to the runner-up. It's a big gap from the runner-up back to third. And then the runner-up comes right back and wins his next race. So, you know, he wasn't beating a bunch of tomato cans that day. And, you know, and I'm just excited for him. I was excited when I watched him run at Churchill that day because I was working that day.
Well, and look at those two workouts since. I mean, the second of 125, 47 flat, and then a 59-1 bullet. This is McCarthy kind of telegraphing Actuator in here, and I think you might be right about the way the price may gravitate. I think he and King Ottoman are the fun bunch.
Right, yeah, because King Ottoman's obviously improving as well, you know, and he really, you know, I listened to Scott earlier, and I watched that that Texas Derby, and it wasn't the cleanest trip, and he still, you know, got it done, I thought, pretty courageously and looked good doing it.
Very good. All right. And, you know, I should mention, too, James gave you a couple of the spots in Delaware. Delaware has a very attractive pick five tomorrow, 15% pick five, races 3-7. So basically that's the 4 stakes, the Dashing Beauty, the Battery Park, the Dick, and the Del Cap. And then there's a maiden special weight for 3 and ups going 1.70 on the turf that is the second leg. So a very attractive pick five at Del Park tomorrow. I wanted to slip that in.
And I'll get out with a pick for Prairie Meadows tonight. That Iowa Sprint race 9, as I thought, had a lot of speed in there. You got 3 front runners in there to the inside. They're going to be winging it. All of them are capable of running 21 and change. Number 7, Macron. I liked his allowance wins at Oaklawn Park earlier this year. I thought that, you know, he blew the start, 2 starts back in against a really nice field in $111,000 allowance and ran a good third that day. And I just thought, you know, he's going to improve upon his first stakes effort last time at Lone Star. I think he gets a better setup here, and he's going to get a great trip with Stuart Elliott. And I like Macron from off the pace, race 9 at Prairie Meadows tonight.
There it is.
One morning on.
The LSFP, the last second Friday push. From James, the Iowa Sprint tonight, 10:38 Eastern Time, 9:38 Central, and I want to pick. I pick Coach Jimmy Lee every year in the Iowa Sprint, whether he's retired or not. There, that's James. I appreciate it. We'll talk next week, and Saratoga will be on the manifest.
All right. Awesome, Steve. You have a great weekend.
I appreciate it. James underscore Scully 111 for your Twitter interest, although James is not a big Twitterer. Top of the hour. In fact, right, well, now it's actually 11:01. So let's take the break. Our last of the morning. Come back for hour 3. Nick Tamaro joins us next. Dave Grenig and Hammer to close out this Friday, and back at Horseshoe, Indiana, back home again. at Indiana for the first time, at least broadcasting. I did come here once and just enjoyed it. In fact, I walked in and I met Randy Klopp, and he dragged me into a win photo. I literally had not been on the grounds 4 minutes. And he said, come on in the picture, Steve. All right. All right. That was it. Back after this with Ed Tam. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands in Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock,